Let us now turn to consider some evils. Why do you find the portion of God's word read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1? And we may read again from verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, that thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And in this precious chapter of God's word, we have Luke, the beloved physician, showing why he wrote to Theophilus. He says that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And we have brought before us the wonderful truth concerning the birth of John the Baptist, and how his father and mother were exercised on that account. And we have also the glorious message of salvation brought before us in the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how Mary, the mother of Jesus, rejoiced in her soul and sang praises to the Lord concerning this glorious revelation of the love and kindness of the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, as an evil, we would desire to draw your attention to one or two things that we have in the portion before us. And first of all, we would like to say a little concerning what Zechariah's heard. And then, secondly, a little concerning his being chastised. And then, thirdly, that the chastisement was lifted, and then we may consider a little as to what followed. Well, first of all, a little concerning what Zacharias heard, and we find that the angel Gabriel speaks of the things he heard as glad tidings. I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And therefore we are brought face to face with this wonderful declaration of the will of God, or the mind of God, and that God was pleased to make this known through Gabriel, one of the angels of his presence. Well, we find Gabriel making mention of that he stood in the presence of God, and as the Lord's servant, ready to do his bidding. And as you know, we find mention made of this angel in the prophecy of Daniel, where Gabriel makes known to Daniel the glorious truth concerning the death of the Messiah. And now it pleased God in the exercise of his sovereign love to send Gabriel from heaven to make known these glad tidings to Zacharias, while Zacharias was employed in the service of God in the temple. And that immediately shows that this was according to the purpose of God. You often hear, and of course it is true, that nothing happens by chance. God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, and it was according to the foreordination of God that Zacharias should be in the temple of God at Jerusalem at this particular time when he sends his angel Gabriel to bring glad tidings to him. And how that should solemnize us also, and how it should cause us to understand that the Lord would have us serve him while it is day, while the day of mercy lasts, while we are on mercy's ground. And it was true concerning Zacharias that he was a godly man, one who feared the Lord, one who was righteous, as was Elizabeth, his wife. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And Zacharias, as one who feared the Lord and who thought upon his name, was exercised in a way that was agreeable to the mind and will of God. He was in the path of duty, in the path of holy obedience, and it was while he was fulfilling this ministry that the Lord was pleased to send Gabriel to the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem to make known to him these wonderful words, or these glad tidings. And of course they are glad tidings because they are intimately connected with the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are closely related to the great and precious promises concerning the coming of the Messiah, his work, his sacrificial death, and of course concerning his resurrection and his ascension to glory, and his coming at the last day to judge the world in righteousness. And we can safely say that there are no glad tidings in the proper sense of the term which are not related to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. And therefore what Zacharias heard at this particular time were glad tidings from the court of heaven, from the very presence of God, from the throne of God, and concerning the eternal salvation of sinners. For the message which he received was a message concerning the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, his own son. And we notice that the angel speaks to him of his son, who was to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he was to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just,
to make many a people prepared for the Lord. Here was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was to fulfill the ministry which the Lord had given to him, and he was honored by the Lord to engage in the Lord's service and to preach the glad tidings of salvation, to make known that the time had come when God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For you remember that John, by the grace of God, was able to point to the blessed Redeemer and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So Zacharias was being told by the Lord, or by the angel of the Lord, that his son was to be an honored servant of the Lord, and that he was to be instrumental in the conversion of many of his fellow countrymen. And as you know also, this was mentioned by the prophet Malachi, that such a person would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. But this was prophesied by Malachi, and there is no reason to doubt that Zacharias was well acquainted with that precious prophet. And now the time had come for that prophecy to be fulfilled. And Gabriel appeared in the temple of the Lord and spoke to Zacharias concerning this wonderful event which was to take place in the good providence of God. Now, one might naturally expect that Zacharias, on hearing these glad tidings, of hearing the word of the Lord in the mouth of Gabriel, the servant or angel of the Lord, that Zacharias would rejoice in spirit, that his cup would well nigh be running over at such a revelation of the grace of God to him. And also, as you notice, Gabriel speaks up to him of the prayers that he had offered and which had been heard, or which was now to be answered by the Lord. Now, in such a place, at such a time, and hearing such glad tidings, one would naturally expect that Zacharias would be almost overwhelmed at the goodness of the Lord. He had been privileged to have a message from heaven of such a nature, and that God was graciously pleased to employ Gabriel to convey this message to him. One would think that he would be saying, "How great is the goodness of the Lord! How wonderful is his loving kindness! His mercies are new every morning, and here I have a new, a token of the love and kindness of the Lord." And does the angel not say to him, "Fear not"? And what a wonderful thing it is that any sinner should hear this proceeding from the throne of God. That this should be given to any sinner of our lost and ruined race is of the abundant grace of the Most High. It is not on account of any merit of ours, not because we deserve to hear such a word from the Lord. So that it is a revelation of his wondrous grace that any sinner should hear such a salutation or such a word as this. fear not, from the Lord. And there are many such words in the scriptures of truth. And would, dear friends, that we will exercise the right in connection with such precious words. Now, instead of being exercised in that way, instead of rejoicing in spirit, instead of being overwhelmed with a spirit of gratitude to the Lord, that the Lord had fulfilled His gracious promise, and that He was fulfilling His gracious purposes with regard to the eternal redemption of sinners, and in announcing the birth of this servant of the Lord, who was to be the forerunner of Christ. You find Zechariah's death, and asking, as it were, a sign from the Lord, or from the angel of God, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now, as you already mentioned, and as it so clearly brought before us here, Zechariah was a true servant of the Lord, a priest of the Most High God, one who served the Lord in His temple, who called upon His name, and who burnt incense according to the word of God. And he was serving here as a servant of the Lord, and well acquainted with the scriptures of truth, and well acquainted with the power of God, what the Lord had promised to do, what the Lord could do. But was there anything too hard for the Lord? And must not the counsel of the Lord stand? Can His word fail? Can His word be broken? Is it possible that the word of the Lord should fall to the ground without being fulfilled? Well, Zacharias knew that the word of the Lord could not be broken, and that the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. Oh, that the counsel of the Lord doth stand forever sure, and of His heart the purposes from age to age endure. And yet, we find him here questioning. We find him doubting the word which the angel had spoken in the name of the Lord to him. Glad tidings indeed. A wonderful message. And yet, he says, whereby shall I know this? Now, perhaps you are saying, how does that apply to me? Well, have you never heard the glad tidings of salvation? Have you never heard what we have in the Word of God written by the Apostle Paul under divine inspiration? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that God, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Have you not also heard, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And have you as yet refused to accept the glorious message of salvation? Have you as yet refused to accept the testimony which God has given concerning His Son? You remember what is written in the Word of God concerning those who refuse to accept the record which God has given concerning His Son, that they made God a liar. And who can understand the solemnity of such a condition. And is it not true also to say with the Lord's people, with regard to the Lord's people, how oftentimes they reject the word of God in this respect, that they do not believe the promises, that they do not plead the promises as they ought before the Lord. How unbelieving the Lord's people oftentimes are, how ready they are to doubt and to give way to slavish fear, to give way to their own feelings. Now, in that way, we find Zechariah giving way to unbelief. Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. It seems to me altogether impossible, or well nigh impossible, that this should occur in the providence of God. Now you exercise with regard to certain things, and you may be saying to yourself today, well, it seems well nigh impossible that such things could happen, that this should be in the providence of God, that this should be according to counsel or pastors of God with regard to me. How can these things be? How can such men be removed? How can such crooked things be made straight? How can such rough places be made plain? Now you concluding that therefore such things will not take place. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? With God all things are possible. And now we find that when Zechariah's question in this way and doubted the word of the Lord, he was sorely chastised on account of his unbelief. And how it becomes us to stand in awe in the presence of God. How it becomes us to tremble at the word of God. Think of whose word he was doubting. Well, one might say he was doubting the word of an angel. Certainly he was doubting the word of an angel, but the angel had the word of God. The angel was commissioned by God to declare to him these glad tidings. And therefore his rejection of the word of the angel was a rejection of the word of God, or an unbelieving, or a disbelieving, the word of the Lord at this particular time. And as you know, some sins in themselves and by reason of their several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. We need not question the right of God to rebuke his servant. We need not question the justice of God in chastising his servant. And we need not doubt the goodness of God in chastising his servant. We might right look upon it merely as an exercise of the severity of God. Just as a punishment, and that Zacharias is not going to benefit by this discipline, but we know that the word of God makes it abundantly plain that those who are loved by the Lord are chastened by Him. He will visit His own people with love, and their sins with chastisement. Their faults with love, and their sins with chastisement. And God's Son is not chastised by His Son. And if we are without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it bringeth forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness in those who are exercised thereby. Now, Zacharias was thoroughly chastised by the Lord. Solemn words were uttered by the angel in the temple of the Lord. I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Perhaps another case comes to mind. You may be saying, well, I think of the case of Moses, how Moses, when he was provoked by the children of Israel, spoke unadvisedly with his lips, and how he was severely chastised by the Lord in that account. You might be persuaded that all the blame rested with Israel, but the word of God shows that Moses spoke unadvisedly with his lips, and therefore he was chastised by the Lord. And surely that should show us how necessary it is for us to seek to be under the influence of the Word and Spirit of the Lord continually. That we would not be allowed thus to provoke the Lord, thus to dishonor Him, while it is clear that the Lord was provoked, that the Lord was dishonored by what Zacharias had said and by his doubting the message which the angel conveyed to him. And how often we provoke the Lord. How often we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And how ashamed we should be of ourselves in the presence of God on that account. And how we should be amazed at the long-suffering of God towards us. That He is not taking us away with His stroke. That He is not giving more evidences of His just displeasure. How wonderful it is that the Lord bears with us. How often have sinners rejected the gospel? How often sinners have refused to obey the command of the Lord, kiss ye the Son. And yet, the Lord is striving with sinners still. He is stretching forth His hands all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. The Lord is still saying to sinners, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And yet sinners refuse the word of the Lord. And how dishonoring such conduct is to the Lord and how grieving to His Holy Spirit. And we say again how grieving it is to the Spirit of God that His people should not believe His word. Is it not true with regard to yourself today that the Lord has done great things for you? Things that are unmistakable evidences of the love and kindness of the Lord, of the care of the Lord towards you, of His interest in you, and yet you give way to unbelief. How can these things be? Now, we should be afraid of the Lord, afraid to provoke Him to jealousy, for He is a jealous God, and He will not give His glory to another, neither His praise to graven images. And is it not true to say that there are occasions when the Lord's people themselves might be under such a misunderstanding of the truth of God that they are ready to conclude that it's on account of their humility that they do not attain to assurance of salvation? While assurance of salvation is not granted to all, you know that the confession of faith makes it plain that all the Lord's people should seek to be assured of their interest in Christ. And you have Peter through the Spirit saying to the people of God to give all diligence to make their calling and their election sure. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak. Well, dumb was I, opening not my mouth, because this work was thine. We find the psalmist speaking in that way. And as we're reading and singing in Psalm 51, when he was under a cloud, and when he found himself unable to speak on account of the greatness of his iniquity, and guilt lying upon his conscience, you find him pleading with the Lord that the Lord would open his closed lips so that he would speak to others concerning the goodness of the Lord to him. Now we mentioned with regard to Zacharias, and of course it also applies to David on account of the position he occupied in Israel, it certainly applied to Zacharias that he was a priest, one who was near the Lord and who served him and who knew the mind of God and the secret of the Lord, which is with those that hear him. And he knew the great things that the Lord had done to Israel and that he had promised to do. And therefore his sin was aggravated. And do you ever feel that? That there are seasons, there are occasions when your sins are more aggravated than at other times. On the Lord's Day, when you are at the Lord's table, or when the sacrament of baptism is administered, when the gospel is preached, at family worship, and so on. There are certain circumstances which make our sins more heinous in the sight of God than others. And it must have been a great affliction to him, even the very thought that he could not at this particular time speak, as no doubt he formerly did, concerning the glory of Israel's God. And I think with regard to that, if you would ask Zachariah. Do you believe, this is prior to this experience, do you believe that the Lord will do great things for His people? That He will do great things for His cause? That the Messiah will come according to promise and that the word of God will be fulfilled? Zacharias would no doubt say, that is my belief and that is what I desire to teach others. And there is no doubt with regard to the teaching of the everlasting gospel. And those who are the ambassadors of Christ, that they desire to make known the riches of sovereign love and mercy to the bride of the everlasting covenant, the infinite love and kindness of the Lord in the person and work of the Son of God in our nature, that the Lord's ambassadors are not without their unbelief, and they are not without their times of temptation and their times of trouble on account of the insinuations of Satan and the workings of the carnal mind. And although Zacharias was such a saint of the Most High, and although he was given such a revelation, nevertheless, he succumbed to this temptation. He doubted. And he was, as we mentioned already, thoroughly chastised on that account. But we feel that whether he understood it or not, there was given to him a great promise that the chastisement would be removed in the Lord's time and according to his good pleasure. You see, some of the Lord's people who may be greatly tried and tempted and tossed may be saying, will the Lord's hand ever be lifted? Zacharias knew why he was chastised, and he knew the nature of a chastisement. He did not need to say, why is the Lord contending with me? And you might be saying, well, surely I can say the same, because my iniquities are so innumerable. Surely I need not ask the question, why is the Lord contending with me? But it may very well be that there is some particular sin which is troubling you, some guilt lying upon your conscience, and you are saying, well, I feel as if the hand of the Lord is lying heavily upon me on account of my sin. My folly makes it so. And I am afraid that the chastisement will not be removed. Well, you find the angel saying to Zacharias, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, but shall be fulfilled in their feet. And now we find the time coming when John is born, when John is to be circumcised, and Zacharias is asked what his name is to be, and Zacharias got a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake, and praised God for the blessed issue. How merciful the Lord is! How gracious is the end of the Lord with regard to his treatment, with regard to his chastising his servant, as was also true in the exercises of Job and how the Lord dealt with him. We know the end of the Lord, that he is poor and pity. And we believe with regard to Zechariah that he learned much when he was under this chastisement. And now the time had come when the Lord who had inflicted it removed it. And the Lord alone could do this. We do not say, but that there are occasions when men are instrumental in removing fears and doubts, that is through the word of God, from the minds of the people of God, that all the praise belongs to the Lord to whom it is due. It is due to the Lord. And that was so here. And what a wonderful thing it was that Zechariah praises the Lord. Do you not feel that Satan would have him curse God and charge God with folly and with the carnal mind not also suggest that he ought not to be so willing to sing the praises of the Lord and to make known the goodness of the Lord? That the grace of the Lord was upon him. The Holy Spirit was given to him in abundance, as we find here. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Well, he speaks of the redemption of Israel, he speaks of the Redeemer, he speaks of the covenant kindness of Jehovah, and how the promises were fulfilled, and how the grace of God was revealed. And instead of fretting him, instead of finding fault with the Lord, he praises the Lord. And surely that will be the desire of grace. Wherever grace is and lively exercise, grace desires the honor of the name of the Lord. Fill let my mouth be with thy praise and honor all the day long. My closed lips, O Lord, by thee, let them be open. Then shall thy praises by my mouth abroad be published. And although thou didst chastise me, and although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me, and thou dost allow me sing forth thy praises. Thou dost allow me speak to the honor of thy name. And surely, dear friend, if you are one of the Lord's people, that is your desire also. That instead of complaining, instead of murmuring, instead of finding fault with God, that you would praise his name. And that you would encourage others to praise the name of the Lord. As you find David saying there, extol the Lord his name. But as it talked his name together, I sought the Lord, he heard, and did become all tears delivered. And although you might be saying that the ways of the Lord are mysterious, and I cannot find them out, and I cannot understand why the Lord is dealing thus with his people, well, let God be true and every man alive. He knows all and he sees all from his dwelling place. And he orders all things to his own glory. He rules over all and he overrules all to his own glory. And surely that is the desire of the people of God, that in all things he would be glorified. And if that were our desire today, we would have an evidence that we were among the redeemed of whom Zechariah through the Holy Ghost speaks, and to whom Christ and the everlasting gospel is precious. May the Lord bless to us a meditation with Paul Huntsman. Eternal and ever blessed one, give us grace to realize that there is salvation for the chief of sins, that thou hast found a ransom, that thou hast found out a way whereby thou art just in justifying the ungodly who believe in Christ. And may we be of that blessed number who are brought nigh by the blood of Christ, and who have a place in the secret place of the Most High, who have our dwelling under the shelter of Christ's atoning blood. O Lord, thou make Christ precious to each one of us on our way to an endless eternity. Give us to realize how great our responsibility is and how great our privileges are, in that we have thy word and that we are enabled to come to the courts of thine house, and that we can assemble none making us afraid. O Lord, help us to acknowledge thy great goodness to us, and give us grace to confess and to forsake our sins, and to look to thee for that forgiveness which is with thee. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Undertake now, Father, and if thou come out with us in the evening, if it be thy will to stay, and if thou be with those in the Sabbath school who are to assemble this afternoon, or that thou wouldst be with the teachers and children, and that thy name would be glorified. And wash us in the atoning blood, for Christ's sake. Amen. Psalm 85, at verse 5. Shall thy distress or thus endure against us without end? Wilt thou to generations all